eight balls from junior high? I have one in my office. You ask it a question, then you turn it over, and a little triangle answer floats into the viewing circle on the bottom of the ball. If it's feeling extroverted, the answer is yes, no, or without a doubt. Sometimes it responds in a more introverted way. Cannot predict now. Concentrate and ask again. Or, better not tell you now. One day it hit me that my word retrieval process was like the magic eight balls. I felt as if I were waiting for the triangle with the answer to float up. And the more anxious I became that no words would come into my mind, the longer I would have to wait. I have since learned how important it is to be patient. I can almost feel words actually drifting up into my consciousness before they pop out. My brain needs time to snag some words and connect them to the information it is digesting. Now I can relax. Practice this pausing and waiting, and words will appear. Learn to trust your brain. Then you can set your parameters. Tip 3. Getting the night munchies. Most introverts take in lots of information and process it on many different levels before coming up with an idea or making a decision. Often, they like to wait until the next morning before committing themselves to something. Now, we know why this is so. The main neurotransmitter introverts use, acetylcholine, is also the neurotransmitter that helps them store information in their long-term memory during REM or dream state sleep. Since introverts use their long-term memory more often than extroverts, they need to sleep on decisions in order to benefit from the way they process information. I heard the film director Mike Nichols being interviewed, and he talked about the unconscious process. He said he has learned to sleep on ideas, and he refers to it as a good kind of lazy. We are often pressured by extroverts to answer quickly. Don't fall into that trap. Practice sleeping on ideas, projects, or anything that involves complex thinking. If I have to make a decision, I remind myself that the pros and cons will be clearer in the morning. Sometimes I imagine I will wake up from the loud crunching sound caused by my brain's working on an especially challenging question. Tip 4. Try yes. As I discussed earlier, rigid parameters are usually developed early in life in response to feeling like it's not okay to be who you are, an introvert. It was not okay to take a minute to calm your overstimulated feelings before you made up your mind. People whose first response is to say no probably felt intruded on or easily overwhelmed when they were children. As a result, they developed a pattern of saying no without thinking in order to protect themselves. They dug a deep line in the sand and never crossed it. But always saying no creates a gulf between you and others. Practice saying yes. Don't give up saying no. Just sprinkle a few yeses here and there. One of the many advantages of being a grown-up is that we can be an innie and say yes to more opportunities. We can let in more without being hurt, shamed, or blamed. We can speak up if someone hurts us. If someone is shaming us, we can say, "It seems hard for you to understand that I need to take a couple of minutes to decide." We can deal with invasive people by direct responses, such as, "Hey, you're stepping on my toes." No isn't the only way to remain safe. Yes opens the door and invites many good things into your life. A sound first step towards slowing down your quick draw no is to watch yourself for a week and notice if no is your first answer to most things. If it is, pause, take a deep breath, and think about what you are feeling. You may be anxious, scared, or nervous. Your internal CD may be playing Don't Fence Me In. You don't have to leap from fear to the automatic no. Remind yourself that you can take a minute to consider your options. Allow for some breathing room by telling yourself that it's okay to say, "Let me think about that." Anyone who gets irritated if you take a few moments to think over your answer is the kind of person you should use no with. Imagine the consequences of saying yes. Would it really be that horrifying? Try saying yes a few times and see what happens. Remember, you can often tailor the situation to your needs, such as, "I can't meet you right after work, but I can stop by a little later." And don't forget, you can always change your mind and say no. Tip 5. Try no. As I have explained, while there are those of us who say no too quickly, there are others who find themselves hardly able to say no at all. Growing up, we learn to associate saying no with conflict. Conflict makes us anxious because it increases our feeling of overstimulation. So we avoid saying no. But since we need to conserve our energy, it is important to learn to say no. We need to spend our limited energy on what we most need or want to do. If you don't establish boundaries, people may not realize they need to take us into consideration. They will walk right over us. To begin to develop firmer parameters, notice for a week if your first answer to most things is yes. Pause and breathe. Ask yourself what you really want to do. Notice if you are feeling afraid. Is your fear taking over and pushing you to automatically say yes? You may feel unsure and pressured, anxious that you must respond right away. Put on your thinking cap before you reply. Remind yourself that it's okay to give yourself time. It's okay to say, "I'm not sure yet." Think about what is exactly being asked of you. Think about the impact on you if you say no. Say no a few times and see what happens. Healthy people will not abandon you. If they do, say no even more. After you notice your patterns for a week or so, you are ready for advanced no tips. Practice some of the following strategies. They are at your ready when you need a response. Say no. Say no nicely but firmly, without apology or lengthy explanation. Make your own plans top priority. For example, "I'd love to, but I have to finish this article." Acknowledge the other person. For example, "I appreciate the invitation. You do so much good work for the hospital, but unfortunately at this time I can't. Thank you for thinking of me." Consider limiting your yes if you must say it. For example, "I can help with the bake sale, but I can't do the phone drive." Realize you don't have to accept all good offers. Others will come. Say yes or no without much thought occasionally, just for the heck of it, on a matter of little consequence. Yahoo! Give yourself time and space. Let yourself think of options. There are almost always more than two. Tell people, "That sounds good. Let me think for a minute." Or, "I don't know yet." Or, "My concern is..." Feel comfortable having mixed feelings. It's a sign of mental health. Let yourself sleep on decisions. Introverted brains munch on things in the night. Let the answer float up from your magic eight ball. Don't be pressured by extroverts to answer quickly. Trust your brain. Why you need special handling. A human being's first responsibility is to shake hands with himself. Henry Winkler. In their book, Better Boundaries, Jan Black and Greg Enns say that the path to well-placed boundaries is a natural process that begins with treasuring yourself, then moves to taking steps toward owning your own life and protecting it. Setting your own parameters means deciding who and what to let in and who and what to keep out. It's a process of conscious sifting and sorting. Introverts need personal privacy, fences here and there. The more you are able to appreciate your introversion and relish it, the more you will be leaping into self-acceptance, understanding, and growth. If you feel competent and lovable as an introvert, you will be able to set your own parameters. You are a unique individual. No other set of genes has ever been mixed together like yours, and none ever will be again. That is quite a thought. You are an only used once blueprint of you. Treat yourself well. Points to ponder. Remember the three P's. Personal pacing. Accept your limitations. Notice your energy rhythms. Break everything into itsy-bitsy steps. Personal priorities. Realize you have choices. Choose what has meaning to you. Constantly evaluate how your choices are working for you. Personal parameters. Protect your introverted self. Set parameters by saying yes, no, and maybe. Take time to think about decisions. Chapter 9. Nurture your nature. But your solitude will be a support and a home for you, even in the midst of very unfamiliar circumstances, and from it you will find all your paths. Rainer Maria Rilke. Bustling from activity to activity and interacting with lots of people are highly valued pursuits in many societies. But they don't work well for introverts. When we try to keep up, we find ourselves overspending our energy, and in no time at all we are running on empty. Without ways to renew, we may lose sight of our special nature and the nurturing it requires. Yet it is crucial for us, in order to function well, to create the pauses, solitude, and environment we need to restore ourselves. Otherwise, life is one long experience of exhaustion. Imagine trying to drive a car that has run out of gas. The only way to make it go is to get out and push it. Introverts often try to push themselves through life. That is why they often complain of feeling fatigued. In an attempt to be more energized, like extroverts, they sometimes use anger, which pumps adrenaline, anxiety, which increases heart rate, blood pressure, and sugar and stress hormones, caffeine, which stimulates the full throttle system, or drugs, usually ones like cocaine, that rev up the system. If introverts don't realize they are overextending, they can become ill. They don't even realize until their bodies break down that they are running on anxiety and adrenaline. Nurturing your natural resources. What lies behind us and what lies before us are tiny matters compared to what lies within us. Ralph Waldo Emerson. Nurturing yourself means giving yourself the personal specific care you need. In The Botany of Desire, Michael Pollan says, "The tulip is an introvert among flowers." Tulips are naturalizers, which means they bloom better every year. But they will bloom only if they have a hibernation period each year to restore themselves. They also need to have sunlight, water, and fertilizer, to be planted at the right depth, and to be planted right side up. In this chapter, I will discuss the special conditions you need to thrive. Like an elegant tulip, your nature is a bit paradoxical. This is nothing to be ashamed of. Given the right conditions, tulips are hardy and bloom longer than many other flowers. But they won't bloom at all if conditions are inhospitable. Introverts are like that too. Why does your nature require the special conditions? As I discussed in Chapter 3, our physiology is linked to the rest and digest side of the nervous system, the throttle-down system. So every part of our body is attempting to preserve our resources. We are made for contemplation and hibernation. Our brains fire fewer feel-good hap hits. Moving our limbs takes more conscious thought. We have a tendency toward low blood sugar, low blood pressure, shallow breathing, sleep difficulties, tension headaches, and occasionally feeling drained and discombobulated. Because we tend to have less physical energy, we must learn how to fill our tanks with super high octane every now and then. Plus, we must recharge ourselves by conserving our energy. One of the main ways we do this is by quieting outside stimulation and creating downtime. However, many introverts have felt so stigmatized about the private, reserved aspect of their nature that they have not allowed themselves the time to develop effective restorative practices. It's time to change that. Trouble in River City. There's trouble in River City, and it starts with T and ends with C. Professor Harold Hill. In the musical The Music Man, set in the early 1900s, Professor Harold Hill wrangles the townfolk into buying band uniforms and instruments for their children by telling them that there is trouble in River City. And what is that dastardly trouble? The children have too much free time on their hands. With idle time, boys and girls are easily led down the path to no good. Today, the belief that idleness is the devil's playground and the push to keep kids busy is even stronger than in the time of the Music Man. But time to reflect and ponder is not only good for introverts, but necessary. What's more, as Anthony Storr says in his book Solitude, the capacity to be alone is also an aspect of emotional maturity. The very quality that has been thought of as troubling or as a liability is actually a sign of psychological health. Harnessing your energy. Energy is the fuel we use for a well-running life. The latest research has given us valuable evidence about how to keep our fuel at optimal levels. The first step to corralling our energy is to understand how and why it ebbs and flows. When I keep talking about energy, what do I really mean? Energy is all around us. It is usually invisible, but it makes things happen. All living things require the constant expenditure of energy. Nothing can live, move, work, or change without energy. Energy comes in many forms, including kinetic, electrical, heat, sound, light, and nuclear. Although we can't hold it in our hands, we can feel the sun's energy as it warms us and enjoy its light. And we can hear the power in a gust of wind or a rushing waterfall. After being hungry and tired, we can feel our energy and stamina return when we feast on a nutritious meal. Thermodynamics is the branch of physics concerned with energy. The first law of thermodynamics is that energy can be transformed, but it cannot be created or destroyed. The second law is that when we use or transform energy, called free energy, it becomes disorganized, called entropy, and we can't reuse it until it has been organized again. It's a continuous cycle. As a result, energy is constantly changing from a state of free energy to entropy and back again. Extroverts convert disorganized energy into free energy by going out and about in the world. By staying put, introverts transform disorganized energy into free energy. When you feel any of the symptoms I'll be listing under the heading energy crisis, it is a sign that your energy is disorganized. Which is exactly how you may feel, as if static is coursing through your mind and body. Nature has given humans a multitude of ways to convert scattered energy into composed energy, We can exercise, give ourselves nourishing food, attend to our five senses, practice meditation and yoga, have a massage, take a vacation, and create environments that are restorative. We can connect with family and friends, focus on our purpose in life, and gain peace of mind through religion or spirituality. Nature presents us with an assortment of ways to nurture ourselves. Energy crisis. Are you giving yourself enough downtime? When your reserves are low, you may have trouble sleeping or eating, have frequent colds, headaches, back pains, or allergies. You may also experience some of the signs and signals I'll be listing. These red flags are telling you that you are in an energy crisis. If you feel any of the following sensations, take time out to restore yourself. Anxious, agitated, irritable, and snappish. Unable to think, concentrate, or make decisions. Confused and discombobulated, as if you are dashing from thing to thing in a blur. Trapped and wondering what is the meaning of life. Drained, tired, put upon, and pooped. Disconnected from yourself. Rekindling energy reserves. Energy comes in many forms: mental energy, alert energy, healing energy, calm energy, vital energy, active energy, loving energy, sensory energy, and creative energy, to name just a few. Although we all use many types of energy, there are two main types that innies constantly need to nurture in themselves: calm energy and alert energy. Calm energy allows our busy minds to quiet while we collect our thoughts and feelings. Alert energy helps us when we feel tired or overloaded. Compose yourself by taking breaks. The best remedy for a short temper is a long walk. Jacqueline Schiff. Genetic research has shown that it takes introverts longer than extroverts to reconstitute themselves when they are depleted. The reason? The receptor sites at the end of introverts' nerves are slow to reuptake neurotransmitters. In other words, introverts require more resting time to feel restored. As an introvert, you can avoid getting depleted by building in breaks, even if you don't feel as if you need one. Put these breaks and short naps on your calendar. Use a bright-colored pen and write break 15 minutes every 2 hours. Then adhere to your schedule. Take those breaks for a week or two and see how you feel. Ted, an introverted animation director I interviewed, said, "I used to wait until I couldn't function and then take some downtime. I never seemed to catch up. Now I build short breaks into my schedule, and I find I never get into that overextended funk I used to." Breaks are the best tool to create calm or alert energy, if you know how to take them. Break breakdown. A few suggestions for a 15-minute break. Close your eyes, relax your body. Think of a beach, lake, or the wind sweeping through tall pines. Take a short walk. Stretch and yawn. Take a cat nap. Drink a cup of tea or a glass of water with a few drops of lemon juice in it. Stare and think of nothing. Tighten your muscles and then release them. Feel the difference. Put your feet up and put a cool or warm washcloth on your forehead. Think of a memory that makes you smile. Anything involving my grandkids fills this bill. Look at a funny website. Play a computer game, do a crossword puzzle, leaf through a magazine, read a comic book, peruse travel brochures. Scribble a few lines in a journal. Play with one of your children's toys. A few suggestions for a 30-minute break. Take a nap. Take a walk. Read a magazine article. Order something from a catalog. Take the scenic route to work. Plan a surprise for your child or partner. Track down an old friend on the internet. Break out of your old routine and do something backward. I like to eat my dessert first sometimes, Mary Poppins style. A few suggestions for a 2-hour break. Go to a bookstore and browse in a section you have never studied before. Take a sack lunch and a good book to a scenic place. Visit a museum or historical building. Sit in a park, garden, or pretty grounds and daydream. Take a hike and watch a sunset. Trade foot, back, or neck rubs with your partner. Relax with a mask, cool iPads, and soothing music. Make cookies and take them to the office or give them to your child's class. Start a jigsaw puzzle. Plan your next vacation. Look at old photos or home movies. Plant flowers where you can see them out your window. Hit a bucket of golf balls. Go fly a kite. Mini vacation. Because of their slower tempo, introverts often feel as if they don't accomplish enough. And as a result, they don't allow themselves to take more than a short break. When I suggest to clients that they take one day of the weekend and spend it in bed with their PJs on, doing nothing but reading, watching bad TV, and lounging, they usually eye me with skepticism and say, "Is it okay to stay in bed all day?" If they give it a try and don't feel too guilty, they are often surprised at how much better they feel. Doing something completely different can be energizing too. For example, rent 3 old movies and watch them with breaks for walks. Attend a day-long music festival. Go to a day spa and have the full treatment. Take a train to another town, have lunch, and take the train back. Spend the day with a friend or two and reminisce. Spend the night in a hotel in your own town or city. Take a hike to where wildflowers are blooming. Bring a picnic and take pictures. Take a long car drive, singing to your favorite CDs. The importance of breathing. All day long, you are inhaling and exhaling, but I bet you don't even notice you're breathing for days, weeks, or even months. Oxygen is the basic stuff of life. It raises your energy level by delivering vital supplies to your muscles, keeping your mind clear, and maintaining your sense of well-being. Every cell in your body requires it. As you breathe, oxygen enters the body and carbon dioxide exits. If we don't breathe deeply enough, our oxygen level gets depleted and carbon dioxide builds up and increases acid in our blood, which results in a fuzzy head, a woozy feeling, and increased anxiety. Notice, without criticizing yourself, how you breathe normally. Do you breathe shallowly or deeply? Introverts often breathe in a shallow way because they are on the throttle-down system, which slows breathing. Are your inhalations even, or do you take in more air than you release? Does your chest rise as you breathe? Do you hold your breath? Do you sigh a lot? Healthy, deep breathing originates from your abdomen, right below your belly button, not your lungs. Use your increased awareness and try some of the following exercises to see if you feel more energized. Find a comfortable place to lie down on a mat or carpet. Put a folded towel under your head and a pillow under your knees. Place one hand on your abdomen and the other hand on your chest over your breastbone. Now take a roomy breath. Which hand rises and falls the most? The goal is to have the hand on your abdomen higher. With practice, you can learn to breathe deeply from your belly so that it becomes automatic. As you continue to inhale, inflate your stomach. Exhale as you push your stomach down. Visualize your tummy as a balloon, enlarging and shrinking as you inhale and exhale. Breathe in and out through your nose in a rhythmic pattern. It may feel a little odd at first, but with practice, you can become good at belly breathing. Switching from just barely filling your lungs with air to belly breathing will increase energy and calmness. Your body will thank you. At any time of the day, you can increase your alert energy with this quick deep breathing exercise. Close your eyes, breathe in deeply through your nose, and hold it for the count of four. Exhale through your mouth to a count of six. Repeat several times. Notice how your body feels. Set yourself on the sunny side of life. Believe it or not, scientists have found that how we get out of bed in the morning influences how we feel all day. Ideally, we sleep deeply during the night, and as morning comes, we shift into lighter sleep. If we are awakened by a blaring alarm, dose ourselves with caffeine, and race around the house before running out the door, we set our body on tension for the whole day. If we ease into the morning, our body is primed for more energy and less tension. Try the following steps for several mornings and see how you feel. Set your alarm early enough so that you have a little time to yourself in the morning. Awaken to gentle music on your radio. Sit up and slide out of bed slowly. Look out a window with the best view and breathe in the light. Do some easy stretches for 5 minutes. Nurturing space. Your sacred space is where you can find yourself again and again. Joseph Campbell. I have often read that introverts are not aware of their surroundings. I think it is quite the opposite. Most of them are acutely aware, so they automatically focus in on just a few specific things to help reduce their feeling of stimulation. In order to make sense of all the data they take in throughout the day, introverts need peace and quiet. Otherwise, they can't think. Imagine attempting to decide where to go on vacation while you are standing in the median strip of the New Jersey Turnpike. The noises, the whoosh of cars, the overwhelming environment would make it impossible to concentrate. You can't process information if you are overstimulated. It's what one of my clients calls the Philco static in her brain. All white noise, no clear reception. The more introverted you are, the more you need a serene environment for processing stimuli and for recharging. Why is processing time so crucial? Without it, you get information overload. New input lands on top of old input, and suddenly your threshold is reached and you shut down. Crash. Circuits are jammed. Numbness sets in. Many people misunderstand this phenomenon. Let me explain. I have worked with many introverts who did not think they were very smart. Ironically, about 60% of the intellectually gifted are introverted. The real problem is that they have been in an overloaded state all of their lives. They think nothing is in their brain when actually there's too much in there. However, if they are not aware of the need to give themselves time to sift, sort, and contemplate, they may feel they can't think. Or worse, they think their head is empty. Why does this happen? Imagine that your introverted brain is like a big bank computer. All day long, it takes in huge numbers of deposits, makes withdrawals, and processes various other transactions from thousands of customers, putting this here, storing that there. At night, the bank clerks handle these transactions in what they call a batch process. That's why it says on your bank statement that your deposit won't be reflected on your bank balance until the next day. And in the morning, voila, your deposit is posted to your account. Hopefully. What would happen if the bank computer didn't operate at night? Serious congestion and backup. Accounts would be incorrect. Your balance could be too high or too low. You wouldn't be able to make sense of anything. Human beings are the same. If you don't have time to process the stimuli you take in, you get backed up and congestion sets in. You can get fuzzy or go blank. Innies need uninterrupted time and space to let their thoughts and feelings get sorted out, to think about the pros and cons of things. Only reflective time allows them to figure out what they really feel about something and gives them access to information they have unconsciously ingested. Clients will tell me, "That idea just floated into my brain," after they learn to give themselves more downtime. After processing time, some introverts like to talk about their thoughts and feelings to another person who is a good listener. They may not need any feedback. If they do like a response, often it helps just to summarize what they said. In this way, they can appreciate and clarify their own thought process. They begin to trust that they will think of useful ideas and creative solutions to problems. Trusting your process is important. Carve out your own nook or cranny. When introverts spend too much time around other people, they can start to feel drained just by the physical proximity. They can feel tired in a crowd without ever talking to anyone. Carving out physical space gives them the expanse they need to regroup. Most introverts need their own personal space because they tend to be territorial. They need an actual place to call their own. It gives them a sense of controlling their own energy. Renewing space needs to feel safe and comfortable, free from crowds, interruptions, loud noises, and demands. If it isn't protected and comfortable, it will take energy away rather than give it. Picture what type of space feels cozy and nurturing to you. What kind of environment do you need in order to muse, mull over your problems, invent a fantasy, savor memories? My client Emma likes to putter around the house clipping dead leaves from her Boston ferns, rearranging knickknacks, and taking in the muted tones of the rag rugs on her polished hardwood floors. When you are relaxing, you are reducing outside stimulation and replenishing your energy stores. Another client prefers to replenish her energy stores by being enveloped in a pile of fluffy feather pillows and immersing herself in a mystery novel. My client David has a busy household with 4 children and an extra extroverted wife. He says, "As long as I have my office out in the garage where I can tuck myself away for an hour, I am okay." A friend of mine made a tiny Zen cubbyhole in her attic where she meditates with cushions, candles, meaningful pictures, and aromas. Here are some things to consider when you are creating a special nook or cranny for yourself. Do you want an outdoor or indoor spot? One of my clients still lusts after his treehouse. Many people love the feel of a hammock or chaise lounge under a cool shade tree. Others prefer comfortable furniture with soft pillows and cozy throws. What kind of light do you want and how much? Lots of natural light? Candles, gentle lamplight, cool shadows. What colors enhance your feeling of well-being? Do you want complete quiet, music, sounds of nature, a water fountain? Remember, you can use earplugs, sound machines, and headphones. Do you want pets around? You can learn from cats. They are expert refuelers. If you don't have the luxury of a special room of your own, then carve out a space for yourself with a folding screen, plants, or a bookshelf. Even an area rug helps give a sense of separateness. When my client Rochelle was in the 5th grade, she divided up the bedroom she shared with her sister by hanging a chenille bedspread. It was her attempt to have a room of her own. Still on the quest for a space of her own in junior high, she moved into the breakfast nook. She had to more or less fall into her bed. It filled up the entire nook, but it was hers. Another of my clients made a little reading loft for herself in a closet. Remember, you may need different types of space at different times. If you have been indoors too much, you may need the feeling of the great outdoors. At other times, though, you may prefer to cozy up to a fireplace. There are many ways to create a personal space in the world. I often suggest to clients that when they feel the world assaulting them, they should imagine a bubble or force field around them. The sense of having protection from outside stimulation increases their energy immeasurably. Light and air temperature. Introverted bodies seem to be particularly attuned to fluctuations in temperature and to the rhythms of light and dark. Our systems are often harder than extroverts to get going in the morning. That old throttle-down system again. We need natural light, especially bright morning light, to help us feel awake. At Harvard University, researchers studied the link between light and alertness. They found that people felt more energized all day when they had at least 15 minutes of bright light, first thing in the morning. Natural light is vital to all of us, but especially to introverts, since they function on the less energized side of the nervous system. Natural light regulates levels of a hormone-like substance called melatonin, which has a powerful effect on mood, sleep, and the reproductive system. An insufficient amount of light can cause a buildup of melatonin, resulting in depression and lethargy. This situation can become quite serious during winter months and has been given an actual diagnosis, seasonal affective disorder, or SAD. There are ways to increase your light intake. At home or work, sit by a window. To the best of your ability, avoid fluorescent lighting, the most unnatural form of light. Go outside for a light break. Use full-spectrum light bulbs or a lamp that replicates daylight if you live in the northern latitudes. Bring extra lamps to work if your office only has one light source. You may be interested to learn that introverts tend to run cool and get chilled easily. Their normal body temperature is often below the average 98.6. Their throttle-down system pulls blood from the extremities to help the internal organs digest food, so hands and feet receive less warming blood. If innies feel too cold, it can be even more difficult for them to get going and leave the house. At the same time, because they may not sweat as easily as extroverts, sweating is the main way humans regulate overheating, innies don't function well when they are overheated. Every body movement slows to a crawl, and thinking grinds to a halt. Innies have a relatively narrow range of temperatures in which they feel comfortable. In order to ensure maximum functioning, it's a good idea to dress in layers so you can adjust to the temperature. Bring a sweater or jacket, even if you don't think it will be necessary. Tuck hand warmers in your pockets. Wear thin socks with a thicker pair over them so you can take them off after your tootsies toast up. Take a portable heater or fan to work to balance the room temperature and keep the air circulating by opening a window for at least a few moments every day. Your nose knows. Unlike our other senses, our sense of smell has its very own short pathway from the nose to the brain. Have you ever whiffed bubblegum and a memory of childhood floated through your head? We have an immediate reaction to fragrances because they are processed right next door to both the emotional center and the memory center of the brain. Since our sense of smell registers on our most basic systems, it has an effect on our throttle-down system. When smelling fragrances we like, we take slow, deep breaths, and so we take in more oxygen. As we have heard, these two processes increase our energy level. There is evidence that fragrances may also improve concentration and learning. In one study, two groups of subjects were asked to do connect-the-dots puzzles. One group was then asked to sniff a fragrance. Then both groups were asked to redo the puzzles. The group that had sniffed the fragrance finished 30% faster. In another study of stress response, subjects who were showing signs of stress were given a whiff of spiced apple. This was followed by an increase of alpha brainwaves, which indicated a relaxed alert state. Outside the United States, aromatherapy is being used in conjunction with a variety of medical and non-medical conditions. In Great Britain, for example, aromatherapy involving lavender is used to treat insomnia, and jasmine is used to treat anxiety. And in a study there, when dieters selected a favorite scent to sniff, they actually lost weight easier. In Japan, lemon scent has been dispersed through the ventilation system in some office buildings to increase productivity. You can enjoy the benefits of aromatherapy by inhaling a few drops of the essential oil fragrances you respond to best. Put a couple of drops in your bath or shower, or use with a massage or manicure. Put the scent on a tissue and whiff it several times a day. Or light several essential oil candles and let them waft through your home. Test various scents in perfumes, colognes, spices, and foods to determine their effect on your mood and sense of alertness. Once you discover what works best, you can use the particular scents to create a desired mood. Program your nose by training it to associate a scent to an emotion. For example, every time you are in a relaxed and alert state, sniff a tangerine aroma. Soon, each time you smell tangerine, it will evoke in you a state of alertness and relaxation. Refreshing and invigorating aromas. Refreshing. Lavender, rose, chamomile, geranium, sandalwood, vanilla, and fresh mown grass. Invigorating. Peppermint, spearmint, citrus, eucalyptus, cypress, rosemary, and orange blossom. Musical moments. Music is your own experience, your thoughts, your wisdom. Charlie Parker. Since ancient times, music has been used in all cultures as a powerful force to help shift moods and improve emotional states. Studies show that many people find it more exhilarating than sex. It can energize us, relax us, or inspire us to move. Music influences our respiratory rate, blood pressure, stomach contractions, and hormone levels, which in turn affect our immune system. Heart rates slow down or speed up to synchronize with the beat of the music, and it can increase oxygenation and alter our brain waves. Remember the relaxing alpha waves I mentioned earlier. Several experiments have shown that musical preferences are extremely idiosyncratic. What is soothing to one person can be jarring to another. Your taste in music may also change from day to day. Sometimes jazz may be relaxing, and sometimes it may be irritating. Pay close attention to your differing reactions to various types of music. Note whether a particular style makes you happy or sad, relaxed or energized. If you are down in the dumps, try to pick something to match your low-key mood. Gradually shift into a more up-tempo piece, gospel, swing, rock, reggae, new age, gunfighter ballads, or Dixieland jazz just may do it, and feel your gloom lift. Since introverts sometimes have trouble getting going, music can help you get out of the starting gate. Music can also help you kick back and relax. It can distract you from unpleasant voices chattering in your head, or from painful memories, and it can lift a blue mood. As you relax, your energy stores are converted into usable fuel. Take time out to enjoy the notes of nature. Nature's music can be refreshing, renewing, and soothing. I like to listen to a CD of nature sounds, a mountain storm full of wind, rain, cracks of lightning, and claps of thunder. After listening to it, I feel rather electrified. Or you can put a bird feeder outside your window and listen to the various chirps and calls. Stroll by the ocean, through the woods, or around a lake, and concentrate on listening to the lively music nature is playing. Studies show that humming, singing, and whistling can also keep us energized. They improve mood and awareness and decrease anxiety. Think about how many parents naturally croon to their babies. Singing increases oxygen and seems to affect neurotransmitters. So sing in the shower or the car, or if you're serious enough, join a choir. Notice how lighthearted singing makes you feel. And don't forget whistling. It is a lost art. Bring it back by puckering up and blowing. Bet you'll feel more spirited. Listen to your body talk. A person's mood is like a symphony, and serotonin is like the conductor's baton. James Stockard. As we've heard, acetylcholine, serotonin, and dopamine are neurotransmitters our brain uses for a number of important mental and physical functions, and it's vitally important to keep the supply at optimal levels. The only way we can control our neurotransmitters, other than by taking drugs, is by maintaining our physical health. Our brains and neurotransmitters are affected by nutrition, sleep, stress levels, and exercise. Nutritional noshing. To eat is human, to digest, divine. Charles T. Copeland. Because of the way our nervous system is organized, introverts metabolize food quickly. Food comes in, is converted to energy, and is used up. This makes it hard to keep our glucose level constant. Eating regularly throughout the day provides a steady stream of nutrients to keep our blood sugar stable. Grazing, as it is called, will prevent mood swings and headaches, as well as sleepiness. Think about how logy you feel after a large holiday meal. In Your Miracle Brain, Gene Carper, a highly regarded medical author, says, "Some of the most thrilling discoveries about how the brain works and how you can influence thought and behavior with food and supplements come from new knowledge about the activity of neurotransmitter systems." She goes on to say, "The radical conclusion, the type of neurotransmitters your neurons make and release, and their ultimate destiny within the brain, depends greatly on what you eat. Obviously, that makes food a very big regulator of the brain." I guess they weren't kidding when they said, you are what you eat. Here are some nutritional keys to neurotransmitters. Acetylcholine is an introvert's main neurotransmitter. It improves learning, memory, and motor coordination, and it also protects against Alzheimer's disease. Estrogen increases acetylcholine, so during menopause, when acetylcholine levels drop due to the loss of estrogen, women tend to have memory problems. The best food sources for increasing acetylcholine are fish, salmon, herring, mackerel, sardines, and others, egg yolks, excellent source, wheat germ, liver, milk, meat, cheese, broccoli, cabbage, cauliflower, and lecithin. Serotonin helps calm us. Its key building block is the amino acid tryptophan, which is produced by eating carbohydrates. Carbohydrates are sugars, and they are contained in foods like starches, refined grains, beans, vegetables, and many fruits. They come in two forms, fast release and slow release, and they affect your blood sugar and serotonin in different ways. A Milky Way is a fast-release carbo. It breaks down quickly, spiking your blood sugar and increasing serotonin. Your energy surges and then plummets. You may feel energized right after eating one, and then an hour later you feel as if your IQ dropped 50 points. Low-fat yogurt is a slow-release carbo. It breaks down gradually, and it increases your blood sugar and serotonin more like a time-release capsule. Eating slow-release carbohydrates at the right time of day can be calming because serotonin will then be released gently. Slow-release carbos are good in the late afternoon to soothe you, and as a bedtime snack to help you sleep. Read up on how carbos work and what are the best ones to eat. Dopamine increases your alertness and makes you feel less hungry. Its key building block is the amino acid tyrosine, which is released in the bloodstream when you eat protein. Protein energizes the brain and satiates hunger quickly, so it's smart to eat some at the beginning of each meal. Fish, meats, eggs, dairy products, peanut butter, certain beans, and nuts all contain protein. Protein comes either lean or fatty. Consume smaller amounts of the leaner types of protein throughout your day to maintain alertness. Two words on water. Drink it. Every part of your body needs water to function. At least 60% of your body is water, and bodily fluids are based on it. You lose water all day long, and if you get dehydrated, your energy will sag. So keep sipping. Nutritionists recommend 8 glasses throughout the day. Your body will appreciate it, and you will keep all of your cells nice and plumped up. Catch some Z's. William Dement, MD, PhD, chairman of the Sleep Disorders Clinic at Stanford University School of Medicine, says, "A substantial number of Americans, perhaps the majority, are functionally handicapped by sleep deprivation on any given day. Lack of sleep increases irritability and mistakes, dulls the senses, and reduces concentration. Most important, it prevents REM sleep, the state during which we dream. In REM sleep, we store daily experiences in our long-term memories. If we don't get enough sleep, we can lose this crucial aspect of brain function. Then the fear many introverts have that their brain is empty really will come true." One of the reasons introverts can have trouble sleeping is because they have such active brains. The blood flow to the stimulation areas of their brains is greater than in extroverts, and they are constantly bombarded by a variety of stimuli, from the inner as well as the outer world. They can't switch their minds off, shut out the world around them, or quiet their inner voices. This often makes it harder for them to simmer down, relax, and get the 7 or 8 hours of sleep experts say they need. Here are some tips to help bring the Sandman. Introverts are usually quite sensitive to caffeine, so confine your coffee drinking to the morning. Put opaque shades on your bedroom windows and use earplugs or a sound machine to shut out noises. Take the TV out of your bedroom. Create a bedtime ritual that is comforting and go to bed and get up at the same time every day. Keep the bedroom cool. Deep breathe if you can't sleep and tell yourself you are helping your body, which you are. Have a fit. Introverts are more sedentary than extroverts. They are not motivated to move as much, and many do not like to exercise. But it's important to find a way to stay physically fit. One reason it's important to exercise is to increase the oxygen to your brain. With more oxygen, your neurotransmitters and memory function better. Also, your body is stronger and has more endurance and flexibility if the muscles are stressed a little bit. Finally, exercise strengthens your heart and lungs and improves your overall stamina.